I'm just doing a little Christmas wrapping while we talk on Coast to Coast. That's a Pearl Jam. Let Me Sleep. It's Christmas time. And if you never knew that Pearl Jam did a Christmas record, don't feel bad. I just asked my hipster 18-year-old son, who knows everything Pearl Jam, just happened to walk past his bedroom, and I said, "Do you know?" He's up. Yes. And I said, "Hey, do you know anything about the Pearl Jam Christmas record? Just never heard of it." Just before he went back to staring at his iPad or whatever it was he was looking at. And so there you go. I'd never heard of it either. Let Me Sleep. It's Christmas time. Well, it is Christmas time. It's crossing over now into Christmas for those people in the mountain time zone. We're already there in the Midwest and out on the East, and it's coming to the Pacific as well, and then out to Hawaii. In some parts of the world, it already is Christmas, and we'd love to spend it with you live here on Coast to Coast. And so it's sort of a Christmas present to you, too. We'll take a lot of calls for Dr. Judith Orloff. She'll help you understand your dreams better and what your dreams may be telling you so that you can function better in 2012. If it's time for you to get serious about making better decisions about your life or about your relationships, about yourself, maybe honing your intuition will help. And there's a video series and an audio series that she's put together for that. $49.95. You can link up to her through our website at coasttocoastam.com, where you can also sign up for the Coast Insider. And that makes such a great Christmas stocking stuffer. So just think, you can put together a little gift card tonight, draw one up, stick it somewhere for somebody you love. Maybe it's a gift. You know, maybe that's a perfect gift for somebody that you know is a Coast to Coast fan. You can give them a subscription to the Coast Insider. Find out more details at coasttocoastam.com. And it has there's time to get that under the tree before the morning. We'll get back to your calls here coming up in just a second, but also back to what we were just talking about before the top of the hour in dreams. What our dreams are telling us and what we're doing when we say no next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So as we line up the last of the calls for Dr. Judith Orloff, let me just tell you, last week we were talking about dreams because that's part of the Christmas story, of course, is that Joseph is told that there will be, you know, some changes coming to his life, and his wife was going to be with child, and not to panic about that. And then there's this whole angel visit. We're talking about what, you know, this idea of angels as news bearers, as messengers of God. And that frequently those types of messages come to us in our dreams. And that we often talk about like Christmas miracle, and we think about miracles in terms of God making the impossible possible. But that really miracles in the original context of it, as I say all the time, it's really just about something small, amazing to see, something miraculous coming from the root verb that goes back to the old French and ultimately back to Latin, about something to see that makes you smile. So it doesn't have to be supernatural. And we have these little miracles all the time. If we choose to look at life, life is full of miracles. And one of those little miracles is often, to me, is when we get those very clear angel messages. We go through our own annunciation, if you will, where we get those angel thoughts that say, go do this. And then we employ that technique, which perhaps is the true Christmas miracle, in that Mary just said yes in the Bible story. Mary argues a little bit, says, well, this is a really bad time, or why me, or this, how does this work, or, you know, however we want to paraphrase that today, but then ultimately gives in. And I think that's what we have to do. The faster we give in to these angel thoughts that say, go do this, go to Asia, you know, go do this, the sooner we do that, the more we're exploring a part of ourselves that is trying to break through to us right now, if we could only just say yes. What do you think of that?
I think that is so true, that what stops us from experiencing the miracles is our linear mind. Where if we think of time and space as being the only reality, I think we're going to miss out on the wonder of miracles that can come through dreams. And the angelic forces and the forces of light, I mean, this, you know, as we're, the whole country and the world is going into Christmas, you know, everyone could ask for a dream tonight and ask for your own miracle and be willing to accept that gift. So when you wake up in the morning, the way to remember dreams is just ask a question or just ask for a miracle, ask for an angel message. And then in the morning, just spend a few minutes in quiet and then write down what you get and be able to receive the blessing. You see, dreams can bestow blessings on us. And we're all visionaries. I believe that profoundly. And so if you can ask your dreams, if you can believe in their power, the ancient art of seeing, people used to look into the water for visions. And cultures for thousands and millions of years have looked to their dreams. And in our westernized culture, we've forgotten to do this. And so to have the angels give you messages, you can just ask. Everybody, I believe, has their angels. Everybody has guides and angels all around them. And we just have to tune into them. And that's where dreams come in, you know, or through our intuition, you see. And then once we get in touch with these forces of goodness and light all around us, and I feel so many around you, Ian. Oh, my God.
Well, good. I love that. Here's what... And I hope they're with me tonight because I'm sitting here wrapping my wife's gag presents. I always buy these really mischievous little presents in the morning. She's like, well, I can't wait to see her face when she opens these up, especially in front of her mother. All right, let's get to the phones. And we've got Andrew in Indiana, who's been waiting the longest to talk to Dr. Judith Orloff, East of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Andrew?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. You're talking with Dr. Judith Orloff.
I just had a quick question for you. My girlfriend lately has been saying that she's been dreaming about me a lot. And they're real simple dreams. They're just dreams about, you know, us in the future. And I just wanted to know what that might mean.
Well, can you say specifically what she was dreaming about in terms of your future?
Like marriage?
Yeah. Well, for instance, yeah, she had one dream where, you know, it was a year down the road and she was pregnant. She's had another dream where, you know, it's just us sitting on the couch, just being together. And it's just real simple dreams like that, like I said.
How does that, does it feel comfortable to you? Does it feel real from your point?
I mean, they're not my dreams, but she says that she just feels real peaceful throughout the whole dream and that everything, there's, you know, it's just a real, almost a boring dream, you know, where nothing really interesting happens, but it's just us being together.
I think that is one of the most powerful kind of dreams. And the way I interpret dreams is I listen with my intuition as you were speaking. And when she was talking about being pregnant, that feels very true to me. And the peace and the love that's in this relationship is very real. I think your girlfriend has incredible intuition. Or it's your wife, I'm not sure.
No, girlfriend.
Well, I can totally agree with that. She's a little bit smarter than I am.
that's wonderful for you to see that.
That's always a good formula. Hey, let me ask you a question. So do you think she's just feeling you out on the idea of marriage by bringing it up in a dream?
Well, she knows how I am. I mean, I don't want to get into the personal stuff, but I'm a young guy, but I'm an old-fashioned guy, and she knows that. She's somewhat the same way. I think that I just wanted to know what the dreams really meant, and you know, I think that if she was trying to feel me out for marriage, and you know, she would just ask me like, "Hey, what do you think about getting married?"
Okay, you know, she's direct enough. She's direct enough. She wouldn't have to do that.
Yes, and as the years go by, I would trust her intuition. I mean, I get such a good feeling about her.
Very good.
Yeah, she hasn't been wrong yet.
Well, sorry. So I guess you know what your 2012 is going to be like.
Oh, yeah. She already has that all planned out for me,
yeah.
Obviously.
In a year from now, she's pregnant. So let me just say in advance, mazel tov, Andrew, and we'll get to Veronica in Bakersfield, California for Dr. Judith Orloff on Coast to Coast. Veronica?
Yes.
Hi. Go ahead. You're talking with Dr. Judith Orloff.
Hi, doctor. My dreams... started when I was a kid. They're either of me dying in a car accident or being murdered by a parent or sibling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, in emotional freedom, I talk about psychological dreams. And sometimes when you have dreams, I mean, it could be a past life dream in terms of violence, but I would tell you to look towards your childhood and whatever happened earlier on in terms of not feeling safe or feeling...
I've never been in an abusive type of situation with either parent, so it's kind of really out of nowhere.
Is it out of nowhere? So there's nothing in terms of your childhood that you can relate to at all in any shape or form?
No, I didn't have a violent upbringing or anything. My parents divorced when I was young, but it was never abusive.
But there's something, I'm picking up something there, but in terms of car accidents, when people have that kind of recurring dream that there's going to be some kind of accident or something isn't safe, I would be very vigilant about your driving, yes, on that level, but I would also look inside of yourself and say, where is the danger? There's something in there that's wanting to speak to you. So, I mean, it will either resonate or not, but that's what I'm picking up.
Okay. I hope that's helpful, and Happy New Year, and if Christmas applies to any of you all, let me just say again in advance, Merry Christmas. Mike is in Florida on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Mike?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a police officer, and starting about a year ago, I've had a recurring dream once a week or so, sometimes more. I have a dream that I'm involved in some sort of deadly shootout, either while I'm working or sometimes I'm attacked when I'm off duty. I carry a firearm when I'm on my days off. And in each of these dreams, my gun is ineffective. I'm attacked by somebody for some reason, and I'm not able to defend myself at all. I don't remember dying in any of the dreams, but in each one of them, I wake up like in a panic before I realize it was a dream. And I get these dreams so often.
That's very interesting.
I have no idea what to make of this. My guns are in good condition. They always work when I go to the range.
Dr. Judith, he said he's a police officer.
Oh, you're a police officer. Yes, well, it's a dream of not being able to defend yourself, and I don't think it's just about your work. I think it's about personal situation, in terms of, you feeling somebody, you're not able to defend yourself with your weapons, whatever they are.
Do you feel that, Mike, at any time? Like, I only track with that a little bit because I have a friend who's a police officer, and he feels like, there's so many rules and regulations and other things that are always standing between him and his safety, and that the concern for the community and YouTube and all these things that are out there. Sometimes as a police officer, do you ever feel like those things are conspiring against you?
I do get that feeling occasionally, but I in these dreams, I don't know. Perhaps that's what I'm putting it into. I don't know that I'm ruled by that fear in my waking hours.
Right. No, I get that.
Just more of a, I might be considered hypervigilant amongst my comrades. And I'm wondering if maybe I'm overvigilant, or maybe I'm having a future cognitive vision of something that's going to happen to me, and it makes me obsessive over my weapons.
Yeah, my intuitive sense is that it's not that it is the hypervigilance and anxiety. And that you just tune into your intuition. That guides you in your work. I mean, I get the feeling you're an amazing police officer. So, to trust that.
How often does intuition come into it for you, Mike?
I like to think I'm pretty intuitive. I feel like I size up a situation pretty quickly. And usually my initial appraisal ends up, when we do the investigation or when we figure out the facts, it usually pans out with what my initial impression is based on whatever intuition I get from talking with a suspect or a witness, yeah.
That's fantastic. Are you able to speak openly about intuition?
Amongst my colleagues?
Yeah, amongst your colleagues.
Yeah, they don't necessarily take creed in it. I mean, I have a good track record, but in general, it's not encouraged practice in my profession.
I don't know if you happened to catch a couple of months ago, we had on a woman who was I believe she was now retired state trooper from Michigan, Marianne Winkowski. Does that name sound familiar to you? It might be a show you would really enjoy. It was about she wrote about ghost stories. And she wrote about police encounters with the paranormal.
I did catch that, so that was good.
Wasn't it good? But that was so interesting to me that she said so many of the cops, that they're just beginning now, maybe even to train police officers on that, to talk about intuition while you're approaching a car, to trust your intuition that your spidey sense as a police officer is going off for a reason, and to trust it, to go with it, even if it proves to be wrong, that, you know, that it's going to be that 10th time that it turns out to be right and could save your life. But you have to sometimes go with that over maybe even feeling like somebody might judge you harshly for being a fraidy cat, or I don't know, something, however you, sometimes how police officers could razz each other, that you have to just go with that intuition, even when it's telling you to do something weird, as long as it's not outside of, you know, the bounds of procedure. You know what I mean by that, Mike?
Yeah, I follow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that intuition isn't just women's intuition. Intuition makes men more powerful. And it's not just soft or warm and fuzzy or anything like that. It's life-saving. And if you listen to your intuition, it can only save your life. I've heard stories from police officers, from, you know, people in the military, where their intuition, their spidey sense saved them.
Right. Oh, and I was wrong. It's not Marianne Winkowski. I don't know why that name came to me other than she's famous. Ingrid Dean, that's who it was, who's the detective sergeant, forensic artist, and a police veteran in the Michigan State Police Force. That's the woman who did it. And I said Marianne Winkowski, obviously she's very, very famous. So I don't know why I thought that. Let's go to Vince in the time we have before the bottom of the hour. And Mike, be careful out there. Love you, mean it. Let's do Mike, who's in California too, on Coast to Coast. Vince?
Hello.
Go ahead, Vince. Yeah.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and happy holidays.
Good, and to you.
I'm going to make it real quick. I had a reoccurring dream that I think resolved itself, and basically it was I would get this sensation that there was a hair in my mouth, and when I'd go to pull it out, it never ended, and I kept pulling on it, pulling on it, pulling on. Mm. And in my previous dreams, the hair would break, and I would feel, very upset.
Mm.
And in my last dream, when it resolved itself, I pulled it out, and it came all the way out, and it had a bunch of, algae and moss on it. I don't even know what it was. It was just a totally weird dream.
Wow.
That's beautiful. Whatever the issue was, you resolved it. You worked it through. I mean, I think it was probably some kind of a psychological issue you had in your life, but it's a beautiful symbol of the hair you were pulling out, and you did it. You succeeded, whatever it was. Did you feel more comfortable once the dream resolved?
Well, I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but my dad died last year, and I went through a gamut of emotions, and then I had that dream. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems seriously symbolic.
It does. That's beautiful. And you allowed yourself the feelings and the grieving for your dad?
Yes.
No, I think that's very interesting. Let me. It sounds so cinematic, doesn't it?
It does.
I've seen that in a movie somewhere where somebody's pulling that out of their mouth, and I never really thought of that as a good thing, because in the movie it's presented as like Freddy's nightmares or something like that. But I love how it seems like, and it's really good to think about getting it, to go by Vince's description, sort of fetid material, right? Something that's decaying inside, and getting that out. And
beautiful, and resolving the resolution that the dream showed after him having it a number of times.
We'll get to as many people as we can coming up here on Coast to Coast. And then it's Rick Collingwood. Next hour, we'll talk about hypnosis and also other techniques that you can use with yourself in 2012 to achieve your dreams. More with Dr. Judith Orloff coming up next on Coast to Coast as we head into another Christmas zone. This is Ian Punnett. It's kind of funny looking at some of the tweets coming in at Deacon Punnett. Shane is waiting for his oldest son to go to sleep, or oldest child anyway, to wrap gifts. Love that. Thank you, Sheila, for the kind thoughts. Ohio Reiki nurse, thanks for the Pearl Jam song at the top of the hour. Great show tonight. Dreams are how we live in other dimensions. Believe that to be true. Edward, Pearl Jam is all right, but I prefer Twisted Sister's Christmas album. Well, I guess we'll have to go look for that. Get to that coming up. And thank you, Brenna, who says she loves hearing me wrapping gifts in the background. It sounds very relaxed and homey. Well, it is, until I realized I just had this panic moment. And thank you, by the way, too, for following me at Deacon Punnett. Where I sent out a Christmas message earlier. There's a photo taken at the altar at my church. I think you'll enjoy it. It's beautiful. But I got 50 yards of wrapping paper. And I was thinking to myself, this is going to be fine, you know. And then I started wrapping presents, and I'm looking at all the wrapping paper I have left, and I think, this is going great. I got her stocking done, my wife's stocking done, I did my kids' stuff, and so I'm wrapping, and I get down, then I realized, oh, that's right, there's a big giant box in my closet. Dang it. So now I don't know if I have enough wrapping paper. I've been wrapping away. Like, I should have done the big box first and done the little ones afterwards. So this is going to be a little bit of a stretch, but cross your fingers for me. It might be a little Christmas miracle coming up in just a moment. Your calls for Dr. Judith Orloff standing by in just a moment. And then Rick Collingwood coming up next hour. Weird to hear Rod Stewart doing that song. These are a few of my favorite things. Never would have expected to hear that when I was, you know, a teenager listening to Every Picture Tells a Story. Didn't think I'd be hearing him doing a Robert Goulet tune sometime later in life. But that's, again, the miracle of Christmas. Your calls coming up next. I hope it's been a good night for you. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. You know, Dr. Judith Orloff, we were talking before about that fine line between hearing the voice of your mother in your head that says you should be a doctor and hearing it as an angel, as an intuitive message that says you should be a doctor.
And I'm
reminded of the fact that sometimes, and this is an important piece to keep in mind about prophecy, is that it's not instantaneous. Our knowledge of its validity is not necessarily instantaneous. There are lots of prophets, but prophecy is understood over time, and you have to be willing to go with it and see where it takes you before you can judge it. And I think this is true of all types of prophecy, because many people will say prophetic things or think that they are next week, for example, during the annual prediction show on Coast to Coast, but they have to be measured over time. And that's what you did. You went and you took a community college class, and suddenly it was like, huh, that feels right. And then you went with it, and look where you are now.
Exactly. In Emotional Freedom, I talk about predictive dreams and prophecies. This is something I believe we all can do. I don't think it's just for the prophets of the Bible. I think if you look inward, the prophecy comes from the Great Spirit, if you want to look at it that way.
Well, I agree.
Or the universal force. That's where nonlinear prophetic knowledge comes from. And everyone can do it. If you want to have a prophetic dream, you can ask for one tonight. That's what I hope I can communicate to everybody tonight, is that if you're hungry for this kind of experience that goes beyond the linear to the prophetic, or to getting guidance about your life, what direction should I go in 2012? You can ask your dream line. That's when you dream, you travel in other dimensions. I can only stand to be awake for so many hours a day, and then I've just had it with the material world. It just gets very tiresome for me. I get fed in my dreams. It just feels like food to me, sacred energy, because the imagery and the messages and being able to be telepathic in dreams, that's a much more natural state for me. Now, I've always felt like an alien here on this earth. I have never felt like I have, that this earth has been my primary home. Never.
Really?
No,
really?
No, never. And as a little girl, I always used to hope for a spaceship to come and land in my front yard to take me away to my true home. But however, I've gotten really used to it here, and I really like it here. I get tired here. I can only stand to be awake in this dense, coarse reality for so long. And then I need to dream. My dreams are my refuge. And every night I ask a question, and I get to travel in other dimensions, in the angelic, in who knows where you go. But you get the prophecies. You get the information that comes from the nonlinear mind. And anyone who wants to do this, go to the dream chapter in Emotional Freedom. Go through the techniques of how to remember dreams, and then begin to practice them in terms of asking for dreams and writing them down. And if you get let's say, a relative who's passed over who comes to you in your dreams, or you get messages from people on the other side. I mean, that's another form of help. It can be, if it's useful help. You know, oftentimes when people die, they come back and they give the loved ones messages that they're okay, because they are. At that point, they're okay, but the grieving that goes on, as that one caller had spoken about, you know, can be the most strenuous. I mean, we have it harder here, but once they get to the other side, they can communicate with us, and I think they prefer to do this through dreams. So they don't have to materialize. It's the dream state is a very natural, seamless state. When I make my transition, when I die, I hope that I can go in my dream state, because that's where I feel most at home.
Devlin is hanging on Coast to Coast. Devlin?
Hey, Ian. Hi, Dr. Orloff.
Hi.
I have the most frustrating dream. I'm out on the golf course or at the driving range getting ready to hit the ball. And when I take my club back, there's a fence behind me, or the ball's teed up on a picnic table, or there's an obstruction in front of me, and I can never swing the club. And I've had so many times.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's a recurring symbol. Go ahead, Judith.
That's great. Well, you know, just on the simplest level, look at the place in your life where you feel an obstruction, where you're not able to really hit the ball, not necessarily on the golf course, but go, you know, for instance, look at work now, or look in your personal life, and just choose one thing, whatever you can identify, whatever comes to you first as being the most problematic, and then begin to solve that, and then see if the dream comes back again. Because when you begin to solve it in your waking life, the dream tends not to recur.
That's great advice. Thank you.
Oh, you're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Good luck.
Yeah, happy holidays to you. Ziggy is in Winnipeg on a wild card line on Coast to Coast for Dr. Judith Orloff. Ziggy?
Good morning, Ian, and good morning, Dr. Judith. Merry Christmas to you both and your families.
And to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ziggy.
I'm having a rough time every year between the 12th of January to the 16th of January. Meaning that I have the same occurring dream every time. When I'm not too sure if you remember me telling you that about that last year there, Ian.
Tell me just real quickly.
Okay. When I wake up from this particular dream, I go do whatever I have to do, like go to the washroom, have a cigarette, then I go back to sleep. I dream about the same dream when I woke up from.
Oh. Those are kind of the worst, aren't they?
Do you remember me telling you that, Ian?
Yeah, I do have a memory of this. Now, but a lot of people have this, so you're not alone, because I remember other people are saying the same thing, that when, and then they go back and they get up and they go back and they have the same dream and they get up and they go back. And every time they're hoping, you know, oh, now I can get rid of that, but you can't. Dr. Judith Orloff, suggestion for Zingy?
I'd love to know what the dream was.
Okay, I can tell you what the dream was.
But the shortened version, not an on-and-on.
Okay, the short version is I'm pretty well living with my mother at the time, going downstairs to where she's doing laundry. I look up to the window. I can't recognize the person's face, but this person shoots my mother in the back, and she dies in my arms.
Mm. Is your mother still living?
No, unfortunately, she's not. She's been gone since 1998. She passed away on the 16th of January, 1998.
Oh, that's what the dream is about, then. That's why you dream it, then.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's not how she really died, though.
Right. No. Hey, look, do you feel like you, like your mother, like, I'm going to use this phrase, but I'm not trying to be colorful or facetious. Do you feel like that in your lifetime, you feel like you had your mother's back? Like you were always there for her?
I tried to be as much as I could. But the thing is, like, I'll be honest with you, like, when my mother, like, my mother was taken to the hospital on the 26th of December,
right.
97,
yeah.
Okay, and like as before, on the 16th of January, between 11:30 and midnight, she passed away.
Right.
But the thing is, when she was taken to the hospital on the 26th of December of 97, my older sister said to me, and in front of our mother, her son, the paramedics, and our other sister and brother-in-law, if anything happens to mother, mom, or if mom dies, it's your fault.
That's what I was getting at. Dr. Judith?
Yeah, that's a good
And for
hit,
the, first,
yeah.
for the first 8 years or whatever, I did blame myself for that.
Well, see, this is what it's sounding like to me in a way. But
yeah, and the healing process then is, first of all, you were, you know, I get the sense you were a wonderful son, a very dutiful son. and for you to heal your guilt and to let that go. I mean, I think it's so unfortunate when people say things like that, that you can never get it out of your head, you know, and then you take it on inside yourself. But maybe this Christmas and this January, you can be really loving and gentle with yourself and affirm everything good that you did with your mother.
How about this? Forgive his sister.
Yeah, you could. That's a little hard. I think it's...
I know.
It's harder, but start with yourself. I want you to feel better this next few weeks. I don't want you to have to go through that torment again, because I can feel what it must be like to have that dream about your mom.
Ingrid is in Snowflake, Arizona. First-time caller line on Coast to Coast for Dr. Judith Orloff. Ingrid?
Merry Christmas, and thank you for taking
Christmas.
My call. I'm calling because I had this dream. My daughter was living here at the ranch with me, and these military trucks pull up, just a whole bunch of them, and these people are so ugly. I can feel them just seething just by looking at us, and this guy was going to put me in the front of the truck, and I knew if I got up with them, I was going to get hurt bad. He takes me to the back of the truck because I insist I'm supposed to be back there. And my daughter hears me. She's like, Mom, is that you? And I'm like, yes. And she has a cloth over her head. And it's full of women with dark cloths over their head. And she's like, you've got to drink the stuff they're going to give you. And if you don't, they're going to kill you. And I'm like, okay, Summer, I'll drink it.
Okay.
And I woke up. And it was horrible. This whole thing was incredibly scary and horrible. And I am... not afraid of anything. I died once and came back. I am so okay.
You're brave.
I don't know what that was about, but...
Well, let's get a thought on that from Dr. Judith Orloff while we have time. Go ahead.
Well, my sense is that it's anxiety about the relationship with your daughter and protecting her and making sure that she's safe and the relationship between the two of you, that something might come in the way of that. And that you want to protect that, and there was some kind of danger there. That's the most I got from it.
And I don't know if that's helpful, Ingrid, but sometimes also it's important to just kind of let something like that wash over you. Think about that advice a little bit or that feedback, and maybe it will also spur a thought in you later on. Nancy is in Montana as we come up to the top of the hour on Coast to Coast. Nancy?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, Ian and Dr.
Sure.
Judith.
Hello, Nancy.
I've been having the last three nights dreams about two different ex-boyfriends. one from a couple of years ago that's kind of just a friendly dream like the other caller described. And the other one from a boyfriend I broke up with a couple weeks ago. And in that dream, it's kind of just a close-up of his face crying.
Mm. Did you break up with him?
No, he broke up with me.
How do you feel in a dream when you see him crying?
Oh, I feel badly. I wish there was something that we could do to make things work. You know, it's hard when it's somebody else's choice, though.
Yes. Yes. To me, it's the grieving process of letting him go, but you would like to make it work with him.
Nancy, you want to make it work with him?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, so I would just back off a little bit. Is he wanting space? Is that what he's saying?
Is that what you're getting from him, a sense of space?
Sense of space and just thinking that things aren't going to work long-term for us. So wanting to end it because he didn't think we had a long-term future.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just back off a little. Sometimes when you back off and you give people their space, they're able to see things in a different way.
Yeah. Little light. Space
yeah,
means
light. A little light in that.
Cora is in Taos, New Mexico on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Tora.
Yes,
Cora.
In last resort, several rolls of duct tape.
It may come to that.
Yeah.
It totally may come to that.
Anyway, I'm 56, and normally I dream a lot about water, and it's always good, always. Even if it's familiar land, it's flooded with a couple of inches. But this year in one dream, I had a dream where I stepped back knee-deep with one foot into a muddy puddle, and it was bad. I knew something bad was going to happen. A few feet later, there was a beautiful rocky black lava beach, beautiful blue ocean, and I was about to pull something wonderful out with a large fishing pole. And what bothered me of the dream was the bad water, because I've never, ever, ever dreamed that water is bad.
Yes, well, water is a symbol of consciousness. And if you have any kind of murky water, I would encourage you to look in your life and see where that area, where the consciousness is getting a little bit murky, because you sound very clear and you sound very directed and connected. So, but there's something in there that needs to be dealt with. You know, I think this is a psychological dream, you know, in terms of relationship or something that is causing the water not to be clear inside yourself. And you have to ask yourself what that is, if you can relate to anything specifically that might be stopping the connection to the greater water.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Think on that a little bit. And again, we're heading into the new year, trying to clear out some old thoughts in 2011 with Dr. Judith Orloff, looking at our dreams. And there's a whole series that we put up. You can see it at coasttocoastam.com, $49.95, good last-minute gift, or just maybe the gift you give yourself to better understand your intuition in 2012. Tom is in Baltimore on Coast to Coast. Tom, if we're quick, we can get you and James in. Go ahead.
Okay. Merry Christmas, Deacon and Doctor.
Thank you.
For the other police officer, he's not alone. For well over a decade, I was haunted by a malfunctioning sidearm.
Interesting.
My dream was very vivid. The bullets would simply lob out of the gun.
Oh.
And that was very frustrating. And being a very pragmatic person myself, I didn't put much credence into this. Nothing ever came of it other than my anxiety from these dreams.
That's my
quick question. I sleep much better if I don't dream. And is there any way to accomplish that? I know there's
the thing is, though, we dream every 90 to 120 minutes. If I was to hook you up with an EEG, you know, it would show that you're just not remembering the dreams. So there's no way to wipe out your dreams if that's what you're asking. But the way
I'd like to not remember them. The nights that I don't remember them, I wake up feeling much more refreshed.
Well, if you don't want to remember, ask before you go to sleep not to remember them.
See what happens. And then, James, you get the last word on this here as we head into the top of the hour on Coast to Coast. James?
Can you hear me okay?
We sure can. We got about a minute for you, though, so we got to hustle.
Okay, thank you. I just want to say, Ian, I love your show. I'm going to be sad to miss you.
Oh, you're going to get a good one coming up, I promise.
Okay. I'm a really lucid dreamer. I can start and stop dreams and, continue on the next night and things like that. But the weird thing is I can also learn during a dream. Like, I learned how to type on a keyboard by dreaming it. I learned how to play billiards, like pool,
right,
by dreaming it for months. And I just went in there and did it, and I was like, wow, that is so strange. And when I tell people about it, they just look at me like I'm crazy.
Dr. Orloff?
Oh, no, that was a beautifully creative thing. And, in fact, when we dream, our creative centers and our learning centers are activated. So, I mean, that's a beautiful example. And if ever you want to solve anything, ask your dreams for solutions. Or if you want to learn a new skill, try an experiment. You know, let's say you choose something and see what your dreams tell you. I mean, I think it's amazingly creative and wonderful what you just shared.
Well, thank you for being an angel visitor tonight here on Christmas Eve going into Christmas morning. And thank you for giving us the time. I know it's a holiday, but I hope it was fun for you, too.
Oh, it was fun. And have a beautiful Christmas, Ian. You know,
thank you so much.
Wonderful sharing this time as we're now in L.A. We're heading into Christmas in the next couple of minutes.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for helping us reframe 2012. We'll continue with that theme coming up in just a minute. God bless you, Judith. Appreciate it. Looking forward to a big 2012 on Coast to Coast.